Well, good morning, everyone. We appreciate the presence of everyone here this morning, especially those of you that are visiting with us. We're glad that you have taken the time out of your schedules to be here and worshiping with us this day. We're grateful for anybody that may be here this morning that is visiting for the very first time. If you've never obeyed the gospel, or if you're an erring child of God, we hope that something is said this morning that will help you decide to change your life. That's something that will help you to devote your life to Jesus Christ and in appreciation for the sacrifice that He has given in your stead. Over the past several weeks, we have been looking at some questions that individuals ask about God. This is the final lesson in a five-part series, and I want us to realize that these are not the only questions that people ask about God. But they seem to be, some of the questions are the most popular questions that people will ask about God. And originally this survey that was where these questions were asked among students, college-age students. And it's a realization at the same time that these questions, when they're asked, are not simply being asked by college students. They're being asked by a plethora of individuals, regardless of age. And I want us to consider the last of the five this morning. We've already discussed why is there so much evil and suffering in the world. Will God really forgive all of my sins? And what does the future hold for me? And what does God want from me last week? So this morning we're going to look at the final question, aren't all religions the same? And I think that's an interesting question, and it's one that has been perpetuated by many individuals. And I want us to concentrate this morning on John chapter 14 and verse 6 in particular. We're going to go back and we're going to reread that for just a moment. And then toward the end of the lesson, we're going to look at the things that Jesus says and try to make a determination. Is everything the same? Because when you look at John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through me. There have been, over the years, countless thoughts that have been set forth by individuals about everything as far as religion being equal. One of the comments is made by an Irish playwright by the name of George Bernard Shaw. He made a statement long ago that said there is only one religion, though there are 100 versions of it. Well, individuals have taken statements like that, and they've run with them. Because a lot of people truly believe that everything is basically the same. I remember growing up as a child, and it wasn't that long ago for you in the back that are young. I remember growing up as a child hearing things that were perpetuated by thoughts of men about religion that came along and said, attend the church of your choice, or one church is as good as another. This is nothing new. When I say this question is not simply being asked by college students, it is asked by individuals. This is something that basically, since the dawn of religion in its sense, men have been competing with one another in religions and saying, my religion is better than yours. I can go all the way back to the Old Testament. And I can look at the God of Israel, and I can look at the foreign gods of other nations, and you look at Egypt, for an instance. And Pharaoh thought for sure that the gods of Egypt could overcome anything that the God of these people that we've got in captivity could ever be. We see that graven images have been worshipped for years and years. And what ends up taking place is this, that people truly have wanted, because of statements such as these, they've opened things up such a broad scale. Let me illustrate something for you real quick. There was a preacher and a young foreign exchange student. He's learning English. And this preacher and this foreign exchange student were having a discussion, and the foreign exchange student said, basically, aren't all religions the same? And I'm thinking about that, and when you understand that, in our world today, if you look on the internet, you'll find close to 4,200 different religions in the world today. And I only have a few of them listed here on the screen. And the last line there, a wide variety of New Age religions. You've got your choice. The smorgasbord is out there for whatever you want to do. But this young man, he said to that preacher, all religions are the same, and the preacher listened to him. And he listened patiently, and he didn't jump into a debate. He just listened. And as this young man completed that part of his argument, and the students said, we're basically through with that discussion, this discussion changed to, the student said, I need to buy a new car. Well, this student was from a wealthy family. He had been given $30,000 to buy a new vehicle. And he said, I'm going to buy a used Mercedes. Purchase a well-kept used Mercedes-Benz. The preacher said, well, wait a minute. I've got a car that I'll sell you. I've got a 1972 Ford Pinto. I'll sell you for $30,000. And the young man said, well, no. I said, no, that won't work. He said, they're not the same. He said, now, wait a minute. They both have four wheels. They both have steering wheels. They both have keys that you put in the ignition and start them up. They both have engines you have to put oil in to run. And he said, basically, they're the same. Aren't they the same? And when it all came down to it, the young man figured out that what he was saying was making an argument that no, all religions are not the same. They may have some similarities. They may have some things that are in common with one another, but they're not all the same, because the issue became clear to this young man that when shopping for cars, we don't compare similarities, do we? When shopping for cars, what we're looking at are the differences. That Mercedes, the trim on that Mercedes and the name Mercedes far exceeds that name of Pinto. So we look at the things that are vastly different. And the same is true when we're evaluating religion. There may be similarities. But what comments like this have done, what comments like this have done is they've created a religious pluralism where everything is all the same. And where everybody has a thought in their mind, you go your way, I'll go mine, and we'll get to heaven at the very same time. Or that all roads lead to heaven. We're all headed to the same place anyway. It doesn't matter how we get there. Is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what God really wants from us? I hear that Islam and Christianity both serve the same God. Is that true? Some people might want you to believe that. Do we worship the same Savior? They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They think He was a prophet. But we believe that. But see, there's some similarities there, isn't there? I want us to think about that in this. Does it matter what you believe and practice? And I think logically we're going to come to a conclusion here in just a moment that yes, in spite of their similarities, they're not the same. And so we ask that question again, are all religions the same? And what simple logic demands from each and every one of us is that claim that all religions are the same is just not true. What did Jesus Christ say again in John 14 and verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. Now, it's an issue that needs to be looked at. So, for just a moment, bear with me here, and we're going to get back to John chapter 14 here in just a moment. But I want you to compare some things for a moment. You know, it is true that the various religions around the world may have some things in common. They will have a leader. They will very likely have a book that they're going to follow or books that they will follow. And then they have a destiny of sorts. And you think about this in Judaism, to the Jew, Moses was their leader. Their book would have been the five books of the law, the Torah, what is normally commonly called. They follow that. And unfortunately, their destiny, even though they believe their destiny is with God, it's a divided destiny because they're the only ones that would go to heaven. The rest of the world who doesn't worship Jehovah God would be outside of that destiny. Consider this for just a moment. I don't have enough time to get into all the details about all of these different religions, but think about this. Islam, their leader is Muhammad, a prophet. Their book is the Quran, and their destiny is to be with Allah. And in that destiny, they believe that all of their sensual desires will be fulfilled. Then you have Catholicism. The leader is the Pope, the Vicar of Christ. You have him, and you have the Catholic Bible, which includes a lot of what we call pseudepigrapha or books that were not included in the canon. But not only do they follow that, but they have oral tradition that they esteem as equal in value to their Catholic Bible. Their destiny, they have a concept of purgatory, a place that you go and you wait, and if you haven't earned your way into heaven, someone may be able to buy you out of that and buy your way into heaven for you. But they also believe in heaven. Hinduism, their leader are the Brahmins. Their book is the Veda. Their destiny is reincarnation. And the idea of reincarnation there is you don't really know what you're going to come back as. It depends on how you lived your life. You may come back as another animal. You may come back as an insect. You don't know. It's going to depend. It's dependent upon what quality of life that you led. Buddhism, Buddha. Their book, The Four Noble Truths, The Five Precepts, The Five Hindrances, and there are others. Their destiny is nirvana, a utopian type of place. And you think about heaven. Heaven is really going to be a utopian type of place for the Christian. And then you come to denominational Christianity where it is fractured and divided, and yet they claim that their leader is Jesus Christ, yet they don't all just follow the Bible. There are other books out there. There are creeds and manuals of faith and traditions. Yet they claim that their destiny is heaven. All roads lead to the same destination. But just by simple comparison, what you end up seeing is something that can become very confusing, something that can be contradictory. And no two are exactly alike, are they? They are certainly not all the same. Simple logic has to lead us to that type of conclusion. So when we're answering that question, are they all the same? When in fact they are not, what can we do? We cannot simply make a statement and change those things that are fundamentally different, those things that are contradictory to God's will, and say everyone will be saved. All religions are the same. So what can we do? Well, we have to have a good, hard talk about truth. What is needed in a discussion such as this is a commitment to truth. Now let me ask you this real quick. If you go to the doctor and you tell the doctor your symptoms, the doctor simply says to you, you're sick, go to the pharmacy, get some medicine, what will you do? He doesn't write you a prescription. He tells you to go get your own medicine. He doesn't tell you what you have. What do you do? Well, you want to know the truth about the illness, don't you? You want to know if it's sinusitis or if it's allergies. You want to know if you've got something more serious. You want to know the truth about that which is being specifically addressed and you want the correct medication for it. And so when it comes to religion, what we need is a quest for the truth. We need something that when we are doing it is independent of our culture, independent of emotions. And we need it to be independent of our heritage. We need to be as open-minded as necessary. We need to understand that we need to gather the information. We need to weigh the evidence that is set before us. And we need to make our choices based on the outcome of that commitment to truth. The problem is most individuals, when we think about I am the way, the truth, and the life, they get to that part about truth and they say truth is different for everybody. And so everybody's truth is different. But what we'll notice when we get there is Jesus Christ does not say that. He is the truth. When we think about this in these terms and we start addressing that, then we must understand, again, that not all religions are the same. And so what is our plea? Our plea is that we open our Bibles together and see what God has to say and consider all the available evidence that is there for God. There was a movie that came out recently based on a book written by Lee Strobel. The name of it is The Case for Christ. He's written several other books, The Case for God, The Case for Faith. So what do we need to do? Do we need to look at a book written by a man? No. I suggest and I plead that we open this book right here, because it is this book that is going to reveal to us everything we need to know about God. Notice I didn't say everything we can know about God or should know about God. Everything that God has revealed to us about Himself that is sufficient for us to understand who He is. Going back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and understanding that when it says, in the beginning God was before time began and will be when time ends as we know it. In the beginning, God, He was the force behind creation. And what we end up understanding is He is the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, His understanding is unsearchable. If we adhere to this plea and we go to the book and look at it without prejudice, without preconceived thought, and look at it in such a way that what we're trying to discover is truth, then we'll be able to find it. Our plea is simply be willing to read that Bible. That Bible that makes the claim in Acts chapter 22, or Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, talking about Jesus Christ. That when we consider the person and work of Jesus Christ, that He is the only leader who claimed to be God Himself. And what we see revealed in Scripture is that He is God in the flesh. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh is what we're told in that chapter. In Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 22, men of Israel hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through Him in your midst, and you yourselves also know. His life, His perfect life, all of this was confirmed by God. And the most powerful confirmation is the resurrection. Our plea is in the New Testament. God answers our deepest needs. What do we learn? We learn about forgiveness of sins. We learn about something when we talked a couple weeks ago, will God really forgive my sins? We find out that what God has done is in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. What I know is that the Bible provides moral guidance. Look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians and learn how to walk as a child of God. I know that there is peace and security. I also know that there is eternal life. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Well, you have to believe that God sent His Son into this world to die for your sins. You have to believe. You have to be willing to repent of your sins. You have to be willing to confess them to God, confess Jesus Christ to God, and be buried in baptism with Him. You receive forgiveness of sins that way. You rise and walk in newness of life. And when you're faithful unto death, that eternal life is yours. When you come to the end of this life and God says, the Lord says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," what greater thing is there than to live eternally with an eternal God? Our plea is simply be willing to read the Bible. Weigh it carefully. All the marvelous things you find in this book, you'll find unity from the beginning all the way to the end. You'll find a thread that you pull from Genesis, the book of Genesis, that leads you to Christ in the New Testament, to victory in Jesus Christ, all the way to that last book of Revelation. You find the authority of Christ, of God, within it. And we live by His rule. This is the simple message how to live. I truly believe with all of my heart that if more people spent time in this book, that the world would be a much better place. But I also know that we're human beings. I also know that when it comes to this, there are differences. There are differences in individuals when it comes to matters of truth in religion. There was a book that was written by Mortimer Adler, Truth in Religion. Within that book, he makes a distinction between matters of truth and matters of taste. Matters of taste, obviously, what he says in that book, vary from person to person. Well, how do I know that? Some of you might like pizza, some of you might not. Some of you might think that Patrick's Butcher Boy is the best hamburger in Fort Smith. Some of you might think something different. Some of you might be Razorback fans. Those are matters of taste. Those are matters of opinion. And let me suggest this. It doesn't always take a lot of serious investigation to develop a matter of taste, because these are based in opinion. And yet, matters of truth require that we seek. Require that we seek facts. Let me suggest something. I can suggest some things that are truth, and without looking at my Bible, I can tell you for a fact that Fort Smith is in the state of Arkansas. I can state another fact to you, that President of the United States is Donald Trump, whether you like it or not. I can state other facts that I had two children, two boys, Adam and Michael. Those are facts that can be proven. And some of these you do not have to go very far. I can state a fact that today is May 14th, 2017. But facts bring us to a point where we acknowledge reality. Facts that we need to look at, we need to study, we need to think, and then we need to make a decision based on those facts. That's where the Bible comes in. When you think about this, our plea then is, begin, be willing to read that Bible. Because what you will find within the Scriptures is you will find the ability and the strength to abandon human religious systems and creeds. You'll see in Jesus Christ just exactly what you need in life and in death. You can't find it anywhere else. And so when I think about what was stated as far as matters of truth, I can find what is right. I can find what is true. I want you to consider for just a moment, when I think about the Scriptures, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's just verse 16 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, because verse 17 tells you that it makes you complete. So what is truth? That's a good question, isn't it? And that's a question that Pilate asked Jesus in John chapter 18 and verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him." What truth? Jesus was a king. Jesus said, "You said it. What you said is true." What is truth? Is truth different for every individual? Well, I know what Jesus said about truth, about not just about himself, but in John chapter 17 and verse 17, he said, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth," which means in order for me to really learn what truth is, I have to open these pages. I also know that the psalmist in Psalm 119 says this, that the entirety of your word is truth. Let me suggest that's Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through the last verse of the book of Revelation. The entirety of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So what did Jesus actually say? When you go back and you look at John chapter 14, and you look beginning at verse 6, and you break that verse down into the four things that are stated right there in that verse. He said, "I am the way." What he did not say was, "I am one of many ways," or that there are many ways. What he said is, "I am the way." And I want to suggest something to you here when you look at this. Within this verse, this goes back to Jesus Christ even saying that before Abraham was, "I am." You know what that word did? What those two words did? It made him God in the flesh. That was his proclamation. It brought trouble to him. It eventually brought death to him because they thought that was blasphemy. But when Jesus is saying, "I am the way," only one way. Not multiple ways. Just like he said in Matthew chapter 16 when Peter confessed that he was the Son of God, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He didn't say churches. He didn't say religions. He said, "I am the way." What else did he say in that verse? "I am the truth." Again, what is truth? Well, Jesus Christ has already said that it sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. Well, the Lord's word is truth. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus Christ is truth. You can't escape it. It's there. The evidence is there. Everything about the Son of God is true. Everything that He did on our behalf, the grace that was extended to us from God through His Son, the fact that we can be have been redeemed by His blood, the fact that the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and everything that He performed to show that He was God's Son was true. His origin, His life, His message is true. His death, His resurrection are fact. If you really want to know about someone who is struggling with religion or struggling with Christianity as it's described within the Scriptures, then I suggest that just for outside evidence, the book, The Case for Christ. Because Lee Strobel was an atheist. And his whole purpose was he set out to destroy Christianity by proving that the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen. He knew that our faith was dependent upon the resurrection. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if it didn't happen, we are to be most pitied of all people. But the thing is that it happened. And what Lee Strobel ended up finding out and discovering along the way, no matter how hard he tried to disprove the resurrection, in every attempt, all he was doing was proving the resurrection. Are all religions the same? No, because only one has a risen Savior. I am the life. I hear this phrase and I am the life within in John chapter 14 and verse 6. And I immediately say, what do I need? Remember what that young man in Matthew said? What good thing should I do that I might inherit eternal life? You have to come to Him. You have to go through Jesus Christ in order to have it because He is the life. I know that in John chapter 6, He's described Himself as the bread of life. I know that when He talked to the woman of the well in John chapter 4, He talked about being the water of life. And it was given freely. And all those who drank of it would never thirst. Through Jesus Christ, life is attained. We must die first to sin so that we might have life through Jesus Christ. Because what we know is all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What we know is the wages of sin is death. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, because I know I didn't quote the entire verse. But I want to not just quote it, I want to read it. Romans chapter 6. We always quote the first half of that verse, but very seldom do we just finish the verse because we've made our point when we say the wages of sin is death. But it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. When He says He is life, He's the one that gives it to us. So Jesus, the conclusion is Jesus is the life that we need. And when I think about that, and then I see this last statement, no one comes to the Father except through me. Why? Because He is the way. Why? Because He is the truth. Why? Because He is the life. No man can access the Father, but yet you can have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7 talks about two roads, a broad road that leads to destruction, a narrow road that leads to eternal life. Who do you think is on that narrow road? The one who says He is the way? The one who said He is the truth? The one who said He is the life? And when you meet Him on that narrow road, then you have access to the Father. We cannot just find our way to God in just any way. Not all roads lead to heaven. One road leads to heaven, and it goes through Jesus Christ. So when you ask that question, are all religions the same? I don't see how you can come to a conclusion that no, there's only one, and it goes through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, in verse 23 and verse 24. The hour is coming and now is. Actually, it's John chapter 4, not John chapter 14. My typo. I'll fix that after the lesson. The hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and what? Truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. What is the Father seeking? He's seeking individuals who want to worship Him in spirit and truth. The next verse. God is spirit, and those who worship Him have the option of whether or not they can worship Him how they want to. No. Must worship Him. Must. That's an imperative. There's no other option. Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So are all religions the same? No. There's only one access to God, and that's through the Son of God. Don't let anyone ever dismiss this book. If they have never read it, then they've not given it a chance. They've not given themselves the opportunity to discover what truth is. And when they do, if they do it with the honest heart, if they allow the seed to be planted in their heart properly, they will abandon the idea that all religions are the same. Because there's not. There's simply not. So if your heart is set on knowing the truth, be willing to put the work in. Read the Bible for yourselves. And as you read it, we believe you see man's problem. It will be revealed to you to understand that God has the solution, that our problem is sin. And God's solution is the gospel as it is heard, believed, and obeyed through the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ. Now in John chapter 14, it starts out, tells them, don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on and he starts talking to them about a dwelling place, an eternal dwelling place that he's gone to prepare for them. Why? Because if you come to the Father through Jesus Christ, there is a future for the faithful. Believe in God, believe in the Son, and there's a dwelling place for you so that you can be where He is. So if you're here this morning and not a child of God, or an erring child of God, it's time to reconcile your life to Him. Experience that redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ in believing that He is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing before men, and being buried in that baptism to walk in newness, to rise and walk in newness of life, and to be faithful to the very end for that glorious future called heaven. No man can come to the Father except through Him. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.